I'm not sure how many of us would say becoming a software engineer was their dream. For Joel Hernandez, it was very clear that this is what he wanted to become. Joel came to New York City starting off as a dishwasher, not knowing any English, but ready to take on any challenges that came his way. He used whatever money he had to learn English and get his associate's degree in computer science. He was ready to start applying to jobs, but nothing hit. Rejection after rejection, unable to figure out why he wasn't getting an offer, eventually Joel stopped looking. On top of that, life just threw him curveballs. Joel got married, got a kid, and now needed to support his family. Unfortunately, having a dream is one thing, but life and the unexpected things that come with it happens. He got a job as a restaurant manager, made decent money, and had health insurance, so he gave up on his dream to become a software engineer. He always had the itch to get back into software development, but it wasn't until the pandemic hit when he lost his job that he finally went all in to start again. Join me in my conversation with Joel on how he did it. This is Outside the Code with your host, Tech Rally. Hey, Joel. Welcome to Outside the Code. How are you doing?
I'm doing great so far. Thank you so much for being here. It's an honor to be here, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting because when I announced this podcast and this episode that episode series that I want to do, a lot of people were expecting, I don't know, some like maybe famous Twitter people and all of that. But in my head, I really feel that there are a lot of people outside of this celebrityness or the social media that's just putting in the work, putting in the effort. And you're someone that I've personally worked with one-on-one for maybe the past 6-7 months. And I know the type of work you've done. So just really want to share your story, share what it's like outside of the code and all of that. But before we just kind of dig into all of the fun stuff we went through for the past 6-7 months, do you just want to give like a gentle introduction about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Joel Hernandez. I'm coming from a small island called Dominican Republic. I came here to New York City back in 2014. So it has been pretty much 8 years being here. So I would say that I'm mixed self-taught developer, and also I went to college. But I consider myself like more like a self-taught developer because what I'm currently doing right now, I learn by myself and of course by you, some of the tips. I have been working this company that I was hired since a month so far. I'm currently working as a front-end developer and very glad to be here. It's funny because I was watching all your content like a year ago when I started following you. And every time there was a story, I was like, I want to be one of those guys one day, and here I am. So very, very happy to be here, to be honest.
Yeah, it's crazy because what you're referring to were episodes that I started back in last year called Sharing Developer Stories. And there's definitely going to be some similarities with Outside the Code, but I think more focused on getting more in depth with the people I talked to. I think last year I was just trying to get as many people as I can, even though I didn't know them too well. But moving forward with this podcast episodes, I want to interview people I kind of know on a little bit of a deeper level. That way I could ask them more like underneath the questions, not so much of this high level stuff. So I'm super excited about that. And Joel, you're the perfect person to talk to because I've worked with you for almost 6-7. I don't know anybody I've worked with outside of my actual job as much as I did with you. So this is going to be super fun. I'm really excited about this one. But before you became a front-end developer, before you started learning how to code, what were you doing before?
Well, my journey is pretty interesting. It's a long journey, to be honest. I don't know if I'm the perfect person, but it took me like 12 to 13 years to get my first job. I mean, to get my dream, the dream that I'm have right now, it took me very long. So first of all, I was, before I come to New York, I was a regular guy just going to college for computer science, was trying to get my degree. Then I came here to United States. I couldn't finish my degree over there, so I came here. And it was funny though, when I came here, I was not able to speak any English at all. So I came here being, I was 23 years old. So But I wanted to pursue my dream. That was my dream since I was, I don't know, 8 years old, because I used to follow my my role model. That was my uncle. So I remember my uncle going to college, and I was like, I want to be like him. He was a computer programmer too. And I wanted to pursue that career. So since I was a kid, I knew what I wanted to do. However, you know, I came here knowing any English. So, and then I started working as a dishwasher in a restaurant when I was 23 years old. Then by working in a restaurant, being a dishwasher, I remember that I took my first paycheck. I remember it was like $200. It was back in 2014. And I said, you know, I need to invest that money on learning English. So I went to a small school and started learning English like for 2 years there. Then I decided to go to college. And then I spent like 3 years going to an associate degree. Then I got my degree back in 2018. And then, boom, I finished my degree. And then I wanted to start working as a software engineer. But it was funny, though, because when I started like applying to jobs, when I see all those requirements that they require, oh, you need to know that, you need to know C sharp, you need to know Java, you need to have 2 years of experience, you need to know that, I was scared. I was totally scared, and I stopped. I stopped looking for jobs, said, you know what, I'm not going to be able to finish, I'm not going to be able to learn, to know all of these that they asked me to know, and I will never be able to pursue my career. And then I give up at that time. And I remember that I was unhappy all that time because I wanted to get my dream. I mean, think about it. Since I was 7 years old, I wanted to get this dream done. And then, you know, family came. I got a baby back in 2018. I started like, okay, now is the time to start to find a job and start again learning, drop again. I was giving up many, many times until the pandemic hit 2020. And I was fired from the restaurant I was working on, and that woke me up. Like I said, you know, I was wasting my time all this time. 13 years since I started on college in 2009, and it was 2020. I was not able to get my job, and it was funny because I was looking for through YouTube to find any tips, and I found Joe Santos. I found Joe Santos, one of his first videos talking about this. And I said, you know what? The guy motivated me a lot. And I started, like, again, learning JavaScript from the scratch. And then I found you, and here I am.
Yeah, lots to unpack there. When you graduated, or when you finished your associate, did you finish your associate's degree?
Yeah, I did.
Right, right. So after you finished, why was this so daunting? Did you apply to jobs and you just weren't getting responses? What was that like at that point in time?
I think I have imposter syndrome very high. I'm still have some imposter syndrome, still working on it. But what stopped me was that because I was through this application. And when I see that, oh, you need to know this, you need 2 years of experience, you need to know Java, you need to know the whole full stack. And I didn't know those tips and tricks that, you know, sometimes just HR pull those requests. And I didn't know that. Right. I was knowing any, I think one of my mistakes, I would say, is that I was not in any community. I was by myself. And here in you, you're in a lonely city by myself. I was not even communicating with any program and with anybody on the field. So I was by myself. And I don't know, I stopped trying to learn everything under the sun. I think that was my problem. I always try to learn everything because I'm the type of person that like to be like 100% prepared. And I applied like two or three times, and then I said, you know what, nobody responded back to me, nobody called me back, and I just dropped. And then I got a baby, and then everything changed, my whole life changed. I, you know, having a family in the beginning when you are like young, I would say, is kind of complicated. And, you know, support my family. And I try like support my family and also to work in a full-time job. 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours is so hard. And that loop, I just lost the motivation.
Yeah. I mean, definitely you could get lost in the weeds of things, especially when you have a family, you have a child, you have to kind of be that breadwinner of the family and, you know, support your family. So, you know, much kudos to you. No, no blame there, because honestly, I don't know how I would try to balance everything out when all these things are just coming at me at once. So just, it is tough, and I do acknowledge that. And man, I'm so impressed with your full journey, and we're going to dive into it a little bit more, obviously. But when you made that decision to, I can't do programming right now. You said you were doing like dishwashing, but I think what later down the line, you told me you're like a manager. So did you kind of go up the ladder in the restaurant business?
Yeah. So I started first as a dishwasher. I spent like 2 years, I remember 2014, 2015, and back on 2016, you know, I started learning English. I was able to communicate a little bit much better. And then my supervisor, that was a great person. He's a Korean guy. He was amazing. And yeah.
I'm Korean too.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I said to my wife, I don't know, I have some connection with the Korean guys. I don't know. I got a good vibe. Yeah, actually, you remember a lot. You remember me, him a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he was an amazing person. And he was one of, he told me, I remember that, he always told me, education first, even before your job, even before everything, education first. And he was very supportive. So I started even working with him. He got me, and he promoted me as a supervisor. I was his assistant. So then I spent working with him like 3 years. Then he left the company, and I got his position as a manager. So by that time, I was very prepared. I knew everything because I was working with him. So I learned everything. And then I think that was another problem. I got comfortable. I would not say that I was getting like a lot of money by any means, but I was getting like 60, you know, 60, 65. Mm-hmm. I was getting insurance. Mm-hmm. And then I got I know everything on my job. I was comfortable. I have Monday to Friday, weekends off. You know, my baby was growing up. And I said, you know what? If I go to another job, they're going to pay me less than this. So why do I have to bother and learn all this programming language and all of these things? So I'm Gucci, you know? And I said, you know what? And that is a big, big mistake when you get to your comfort zone. That is a really, really mistake that I made. And yeah, and then I ended up being a facility manager. And that rest
of it. Did you have any itch to go back to coding during that time? Do you ever look back and was like, man, maybe
all the time.
Right now I should be coding.
All the time. That was a feeling that I have here all the time. Uh-huh. All the time. Right. Every time. Even there was a funny story. I don't know if I told you. I remember that I was on the subway going to my work, and there was two guys wearing the GitHub shirt, and they were talking about coding. And I was so sad, because even I cried, to be honest. I saw them, I said, I want to be them. I want to be, and I understood what they were talking. I said, and even the guy, he didn't understand JavaScript, array, things like that, remember? And I wanted to explain it to them. But, you know, here in the subway, you know, kind of rule, you shouldn't be talking with anybody. So I just,
right.
And that was another, and every time I see young guys, guys are younger than me talking about code, I was so sad. And there was a day that, not only a day, many times that happened to me, you know, during work, I said, you know what, do I have to spend my whole life doing this? My environment, my work environment was so toxic. I said, do I want to be working here all my time? I want to retire from here and not get my dream. What about if I die tomorrow? I'm gonna die very sad because I was not able to catch my dream. And that was like a feeling here, like, I don't know, it was like burning me out. I don't know. And I say, I want to code because I love coding. And every time I go back, I spend like 2 months, then I drop. And that was my problem until I said, you know what, I'm going now, I'm going to get it, or I'm going to get it. I don't mind how much I'm going to fail, but I will get it.
So when did you make that decision to say, you know what, I failed, I restarted back, but this time I'm not going to give up? Like, what year was that? Was it because you got let go that you decided to make that decision? Like, what was that transition? Because I know you were working full time again during that time as well.
Yeah. So, back in 2020, again, pandemic hit. I'm not going to say a thing to COVID, But it was a positive thing that I got from COVID. Yeah, that woke me up. So that was a day, okay, I got this call. We were sent to home or stay there. We're going to call you back. I don't know how it's going to be, but we're going to call you back to come back to work. And then one day they call me in the morning. You know what? Sorry, but you guys are fired. You're no longer with us. And, you know, I ended up in the, nowhere. I said, you know what? I have a family. How am I going to support my family now? I know I have some saving, but that saving is going to last like 6 months. And I was so worried, like every single day, I'm going to support my family now, you know? And one day I was like reflecting on myself and looking in the mirror. I said, you know what? I'm still young. I have, about that time I was 28 years old. All my time, I wanted to be a programmer. That has been my dream since I was a kid. Why am I not achieving that? You know, that was my, that was a day that I have for myself in a long time, because always I have to give my time to my family, to, you know, to my son. And then that was a day for me.
You have to go to work. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a day for me. I said, you know what? This is what I love. It's what I really enjoy. I enjoy talking about computer. I enjoy talking about code. I have been coding many programming languages, but I never like pursue my career. And I need to get this done. And then I start like surfing on YouTube. How can I start learning JavaScript? How can I go and be a, how can I find a job as a software developer? That was my search. Now I remember. And then the first guy that came up was Joe Santos, Coding Face. And I started watching his YouTube. I was not working, so I didn't have nothing to do. So I was watching his content like whole day. And then he, that guy motivated me a lot. And then I started create like a schedule, like 2 hours every single day, 3 hours every single day. And I did that for 2 years in a row, 2 hours every single day, at least. Two to three hours for almost 3 years, since 2020 until January 22 now. Every single day, even on weekends. And that, and then I think what helped me a lot is that I start following YouTube, following you, following Coding Face, Danny Thompson, all those guys. That was like my community. So when I start like joining Discord channels, like your Discord channel, and all the YouTubers that in watching content every single day, that was like my community to go. That was like even the people, even though that was virtually on YouTube, but they were motivating me a lot.
Yeah. I know people are going to be like 2 hours every single day. Did you really do that? But I know for a fact how disciplined you are. So when you say you did 2 hours a day, I know you did 2 hours a day, because it's just, it's so easy to say, oh, you know, I work out every day, or I work out, you know, like everything every day. But sometimes you give up. You give up on the Saturdays or the Sundays, you know, you take a break. But for when you say that, I know for a fact how consistent you are, especially because you're so, when you're hyper focused, I notice that you don't really give up, like, and you'll you'll go exhaust all resources to figure it out. So that's, I'm so happy that you kind of made that decision to really persist and all that. But at the same time, at what point were you like, something's not working, right? I think maybe year one, did you start thinking about that? Year two, did you start thinking about that? At what point were you like, I know I'm putting in the work, but at the same time, I still don't have a job as a software developer. I could do like my side projects. I could work as a freelancer, but actually maybe being like employed officially or whatever, why isn't that happening? So when did you start kind of feeling that?
Sure. So again, I start like coding every single day, 2 hours. And then I decide to follow with pretty much like all the YouTubers says. I mean, famous YouTuber, like getting your portfolio done, get your projects done. But the funny thing is that I wanted to get my portfolio done, but like I said, I just had 2 hours, basically 2 or 3 hours, that's it. Because I get up like at 6 a.m. and by 8 a.m. I need to finish, draw my kid to school, and then go to work and came back at 7 p.m., no energy at all. So I just got 3 hours or 2 hours every single day. So I need to invest wisely at that time. But there was a point that I was trying to get my project, my portfolio, but it was taking me too much time. And then I started seeing guys from LinkedIn, from even YouTube's story that they were getting their job in 6-8 months. I say, well, I'm not getting my job in 6 months. I've been doing this for a year and a half and nothing happened. What's going on? So I have to do something wrong. And again, my angel came. I call you my angel. And guys, are gonna. There's no promotion by any means, but I always be thankful because I found you. So I remember that day, I was even doing laundry, and I was watching an amazing interview. It's when I know you. And I mean, was Joe Santos and you that amazing interview?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it was the first interview that you guys got together. And then there was a part of the interview that he asked you, what do you see, guys? I mean, the question, I don't remember the exact question, but I know it was like something related that not only know how to code is enough. You need to do something else. And then you start saying that first you need to get your portfolio, your projects, but you don't have to get all your projects, like 3 or 4 projects, like everybody say. One project should be enough. A solid project, and then you need to do your resume and say, oh, I don't have that. You need to do a good resume and say, you know what, I don't have that. You need to do LinkedIn, a good picture, and start approaching company, messaging people, messaging recruiters, say, you know what, this is what I'm missing. And then I say, I need to find a mentor because I'm doing anything. I know how to code at that point. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't like finding the right path to get my job. And then it's when I start following you after that interview. Mm-hmm. And then in one of your videos, you said that you were doing one-on-one. You were starting at that time, at the beginning. And
right.
You said,
right.
You know what? I need, and they said, well, it might be very expensive. And then I did, no, not at the beginning because I didn't know the price. And then I remember that I watched one of your videos and go to the description and found the Calendly link. And then it's when I scheduled the first interview that I had with you. And then after that,
yeah,
everything changed. What I wasn't achieving in 2 years, I was able to achieve it in, I mean, at least getting interviews after I started with you, like after 3 months, I believe, or even before, because first we were trying to get our portfolio done, the project. And then there was a point that you told me, you know what? You are ready. You can, don't finish your project, focus on interviews. Yeah.
I mean, I do have to admit to the whoever's listening, Joel, you know, they say early bird gets the worm. So I would say that you're an early bird. You got the early bird tech rally special for the one-on-one coaching, because I think our price is $50 an hour, and I've upped my price to 100 something, or like $100. And this, not because I'm just that much better now since 6 months ago, but it's there's a lot more demand. I'm a lot busier now. But at that time, you know, I had the capacity to help you, and I was also unsure if, you know, my certain strategies were going to work for everybody, because I had some previous clients that I did it for free. So maybe there were even earlier bird specials that I helped them get jobs. But everybody's situation is a little bit different. And I'm just glad we met at the right time, because, yeah, there was just so much. I don't know, man. Well, I don't even know how to describe this. But yeah, it's just crazy how you watched my interview with Joel, and then that led you to want to do like a one-on-one call and all of that stuff. But what were you expecting when you signed up and you joined the call? What did you have any expectations? Were you like, is this guy scamming me? Or no, what was the situation like?
At that point, I don't know. Like at that point, I was watching all your content. I was up to date. I watched like every single day, 2 or 3 of your videos. So I was like, up to date.
I was a lot more active.
So at that time, I knew that you were the right person. And at that time, also, you got your job from Amazon, I remember. It was like 2 or 3 months.
Oh, okay.
That you got your. So and I was watching your video that you were coding. So I know that you were a good coder and you have experience. I said, you know what? I need somebody from the field, somebody that has experience. And then there was a good thing that your background is not a traditional background. So you were like coming from engineering, electrical engineering, and then you went to bootcamp. So you had that self-taught mind, I would say, you know, you got that route. And then, you know what, I think I resonate with him. I like how to talk, how he talks. I know his content. And to be honest, I just wanted to get advice, because I wanted to be able at that time to get to the right path and explain you what I was doing and see if I was doing right, if I was going to be able to get my dream, get my job. I think that was the first thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so crazy, right? Because, man, the thing is, you don't really know what to expect in these first meetings. But after the first one, you're what compelled you to be like, oh, I need to talk to Alex again the second time, the third, because we've had multiple meetings. It wasn't just like a one meeting kind of thing. But what type of advice did I give you that made you want to come back? Because sometimes I told you, don't do this. And you're like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm pretty sure you shouldn't do this. You trusted me, right? But at the same time, it's like, it's a pretty big decision not to do this or focus on this. And I tell you 90% on this and 10% on this. You kind of followed it to a T, which, you know, luckily it worked out. But was there at one point where you just said, I don't know if this advice that Alex is giving me is actually useful?
No, I mean, I really like, even for the first time, because you point me to the right direction right away. You told me, you know, you're doing this wrong. And I know I was doing it wrong. That is the funny thing. But I wanted somebody to validate that. Suffering me to validate that I was doing something wrong. But at the same time,
I don't think I said wrong. I don't think I said wrong. No. I just said, I think you're doing a lot. I think you're doing too much. Yeah, I think that's what I said.
I remember what you told me was, you got the skills. I remember that you got the skills. What you need to work now is how to get the job. You need to put many things together, get your portfolio, get your project done, and start getting interviews, like preparing for front-end interviews, like behavioral interview, question interviews, and algos and things like that. But the good thing is, I remember that was on June, I think, June, July, right? And I started following your advice right away because I trusted you since the beginning. I don't know, it's a weird feeling. But it was good, though, because since I follow all your direction, I was able to get this. Without you, I wouldn't be here, to be honest. And I started getting results right away. I started seeing people messaging me back, recruiters. I mean, it was like you were like a wise guy that said, you know what? Once you start doing this, you're going to get this. And I was getting this right away. So, and I got the need to keep talking with you and get more advice and see how I'm doing, and I start seeing results right away.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'm glad it worked out. And some of the advice, I would have to say it's very, like, publicly, I don't know if I could give that advice to everybody, but that's why sometimes these, like, one-on-ones are necessary, because everyone's situation is going to be a little bit different. And for you, I really felt, I think one advice I'll just say that I'll say it out there because, you know, every person is going to be case by case. But I think one thing I told you to do is not focus on your portfolio as much and just start building your projects and start applying, like get to the interview as fast as possible. Because the stuff that you were telling me, I thought it was pretty impressive that you were able to build something out in Next.js, that you were able to use the JavaScript and you knew your CSS. You knew your stuff. It's just that we didn't put you in a nice wrapped present with a nice bow tie, which is like the resume, the LinkedIn, the interview prep, and all of that stuff. You're still focused on this tutorial mode. And there was always this self-doubt that, hey, I'm never going to be good enough for these jobs. So I'm going to keep learning and learning and learning and learning. But you might fall into this trap of, again, being in tutorial hell, learning for another 2-3 years. And you're just constantly chasing the new technology because that's how the job descriptions were open. Yeah,
that was my big problem. That was my first big problem, that I wanted to learn everything. I wanted to know how to work in PHP, C#, JavaScript, C++. Yeah. Because in the back of my mind, I was thinking, if I don't know that, I'm not going to get my job. But the good thing also was that I had somebody that trusted me. I think that was now that I think about it, I think that was the main thing that kept me coming back to you, that you trusted me. And I didn't have anybody on this field that tell me, hey, you can do this. You got this. You know, I needed somebody to tell me, hey, you got the skills, do this. I never had anybody like that. So having somebody that trusted me pushed me.
Yeah, No, sometimes I feel like the one-on-one coaching is less about tangible things to do, but more about this emotional support and just validation that, hey, the struggle is okay. Keep going, keep going. You got this. This is very normal for everyone to feel this way, but just continue on your path. You got this. You'll figure it out. But if you're just kind of on your own and just not really talking to anyone about it or validating these feelings, it's always going to be a rough ride. And I could only assume that there was a lot more pressure from family and all this stuff to support. So you start self-doubting yourself, like, maybe I should just go back to what I was doing before, work as a manager, you know, get paid well and just, you know, support the family. But if you have those support structure around you, then definitely I feel that will keep you going. And I know that you were going all the time, so really impressive.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, but, you always need somebody that pushes you. It doesn't matter if it's like a mentor for software engineer or even a family. But also, exactly. What I like from you was that you were transparent with me. I mean, when I was not doing something okay, you told me, "Hey, you need to change this." Even when you told me, "Hey, you need to change the way you are writing email," that was very helpful to me too. So having somebody that is transparent, not always tell you, "Hey, you are doing good, you're doing great," you know, but also tell you, "Hey, you are doing this bad, you need to change this," you know. If you want to get this, you need to change this. So very important.
So funny. I'm just thinking about it now that, like, even the non-coding stuff I was telling you to do and not do. Because one thing, remember, I always said, like, Joel, when you're having a conversation with someone through the interview like this, I noticed that you keep moving like this. Yeah. And I was like, Joel, you gotta, like, calm down when you get to the interviews. You gotta, like, look how relaxed you are now, you know. But yeah. Before, I remember when you were, like, talking to me about stuff, you keep going up and down, up and down, up and down. I was like, Joel, this one thing that you need to fix.
Yeah.
And it was just these subtle things that can make a big difference. And another thing was just don't shoot yourself in the foot, remember, because there's always that self-doubt, self-creep of, hey, can I actually do this? When they ask me, do I know this technology? I'll be like, oh no, I don't know this technology. But remember how I told you that you gotta spin the narrative and say, even though I don't know this, I do know this, and I can learn this new technology, right? It's just these subtle things make such a big difference. And I could already see the way you interact with me now. We're kind of on this even level playing field as engineers now versus you just kind of always asking me for advice. I don't know. The vibe is chill. I like it.
I mean, you helped me to get to this point. I'm really, again, very happy to that.
But I do want to talk about the interview process a little bit. And I know we went through kind of the gauntlet of the interviews. But what did I tell you the first thing when we first kind of chatted about interviews? Did I tell you should wait for your interviews or you should try to get your interviews as fast as possible?
No, I remember you told me stop getting, because at that point, when I fixed my LinkedIn, and even you told me how to write my bullet points, and I remember that it was after you checked my resume. You said, you know, your resume looks good. Fix your LinkedIn. Even I fixed the picture that I got. And I spent like even 2 weeks like fixing my LinkedIn, and I started getting messages from recruiter. And by that time, I remember you told me, you know what? Now do 80-20 for now. Just focus on interviews. Try to get your interview as soon as possible because you are getting the recruiters. And then get your...
Right,
get your
because you're working on your project still at that time.
Yeah, I was so focused on the project because I was thinking again, I mean, I was thinking, I need to have a project because I need to show something on my interview. If I don't have a project, I'm not going to get the job. And but you told me, you know what, focus on the interview because you are getting the interviews. I mean, you're getting recruiter messaging you. And then I started following the recruiters. And even I remember that you told me how to approach the recruiters, how to answer them. And then I started following those directions. And I remember that I got my first interview was in a technical phone screen. And I bumped it. I was not even prepared at all. It was so hard for me. I was comfortable talking about technologies, but I was not comfortable at all talking about myself. I didn't know how to sell myself. And I remember that the guy after 5 minutes, he said, you know what? I can call you back. I'm pretty busy today. I'm going to call you back to set up another interview. The guy never got back to me. And I started, you know, getting more interviews. And then you told me how to change that thing that you say. You need to change how to talk. You need to learn how to sell your skills. And I started following that. And also I did my own research. And I started learning first the behavior interview question. That was when I was lacking off. So I started learning behavior interview question. That was funny because my interview process was so intense. It was like from October is when I was getting the most interviews until even January. It was so intense because I was preparing for behavioral interview. I was preparing for questions, like back and back questions. Technical question, then I was preparing for algorithms, and then I was preparing for front-end interview, like get this carousel done, things like that. So I was preparing for four types of interviews and having a family, and I was also working on my project. Was so
And you had a full-time job.
And having a full-time job, it was, and also my job was very demanding. I was, it was like 8 hours, 9 hours, but I had so much on my plate during my job. But at that time, I was like not doing anything on my job. I was like, you know what? I got these 2 hours. I got my job done pretty much. I'm going to just study. And then I try to find a hitting spot and start like studying. Yeah, but it was so intense because I got a schedule like, okay, from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., I need to study algo. On the subway, even on my phone, I still have like a 100+ behavior interview question, how to answer the using the STAR methodology, things like that. And then when I got back to home again at night, I spent like from 10 p.m. to 12 just preparing for the next interview, And then I was getting, you remember, I was getting like back-to-back interviews. There was a point that I moved from not knowing how to pass even the first round of the interview, which is the phone screen with the recruiter. And then I was getting now to the first interview to the hiring manager. Then I failed those, and then I was getting to the second round. Then I was getting 10. So it was a funny process, a enjoyable process, I would say, but it was so intense. It was not easy at all.
Yeah.
When you have a family, all these things to do, it was not easy at all. I was burning out. And thank God I found my job now.
Did you feel ready when I told you you should start interviewing?
No, not at all. I was following you like blind, but I was.
What did I tell you?
Yeah.
What did I tell you about the even though I told you to go? What did I say? What should you expect?
You told me you should expect many. You're gonna fail. You're gonna fail very bad, but you're gonna learn from your failure, and that was true.
Right.
I was learning.
Right.
It was learning, and I was even taking notes, and then I was reflecting myself. Mm-hmm. What did the answer? What was my answer? Did I answer something wrong? And then I was reflecting, yes, I should say this, and you know. And I was even after that, every time I got an interview, I call you back or even message you by Discord and things like that. And then I was getting the technical part. Then I was comfortable with the behavior interview question. And then I was the technical part, I think I was talking more than what I was supposed to talk. And then I was getting rejected because of that, probably.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that, too, where it's like oversharing versus
just
sharing just enough. Yeah. But I remember specifically, too. I mean, as much as you give me a lot of praise for the one-on-one stuff, I know how much work you did outside of our one-on-ones about the behavioral stuff and really studying and having those questions on your phone and practicing. Like, I can't do that for you. Like, I can only tell you to do those things and prepare for it. But ultimately, you did the research and you did figure it out. So I always want to just remind people that, you know, the person that you're working with can only do so much. Ultimately, it is on you to deliver. And that's what actually happened is you delivered. And I'm just so proud about the fact that, you know, like you take my advice, but you go above and beyond with it. Right. And that's the difference that I see successful developers versus people that are still kind of going through that rut. Like you can say that, oh, I don't know the path or I don't know the direction to go. But if someone actually gives you the path and you don't take it, then I don't know what other excuses you can have to not do it. Right. Maybe. Yeah. So but I still remember that time I said, All right, Joel, surprise. I'm just going to give you a technical interview.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm still
do you remember thinking, that?
I felt so bad. I was even ashamed with USA. He might be thinking right now that he's wasting his time. That was the worst feeling. I think that feeling was even worse than any interview that I failed because, you know, I wasn't expecting that. I remember they have this interview with Leak Apps. And then they told me, "Hey, we're gonna give you in one day. We're gonna give you a design interview. I mean, I forgot the type of interview. I know there was a coding interview in Algos, doing front end interview, the regular one, and I think it was like design part and things like that. And I told you that I was exciting, and they moved me to the second round. And you told me, okay, so let's prepare for this interview." And okay, I was thinking like it's gonna be like questions, like one to one. Okay, and then I remember that was in the morning. You say, okay, do this, man. It was a pretty simple thing, but I was not used. I mean, at that time, I was not like doing from an interview that heavily. Or get this API, call this API, just render out, and I couldn't. I frozen, and I even didn't think. I was feeling so bad because. Like I said, I was thinking, you know what? He's on his mind. He's saying that I'm not good enough. I just, I was thinking he's wasting his time with me. You remember that I was so feeling so bad that day. I couldn't even do anything. I couldn't even wrote a H1. I don't know why. But yeah, but that prepared me. That was my call to action. Yeah. My call to action. You know what? Now you need to prepare for that.
What I wanted you to get out of it was not necessarily to think that I didn't believe in you. I just wanted you to first experience what it's like to feel that in a more comfortable setting. Hopefully it was a little more comfortable because you were doing it with me, but I wanted you to kind of experience something where it's like, holy crap, this is a lot of pressure. Even if the question is easy, I don't know what I'm doing because my mind is just racing at 120 miles per hour. And the fact that my mind is racing means that I can't actually do the code. But the code itself was really easy, right?
Yeah, now it was just calling an API, rendering this item. It was so easy that I was doing that all the time, but because even my project was pretty a pretty good project, and it was a full stack application. And I said, you know what, I did a full stack application. Now I can even like take an API and just render the list. Yeah, it was so funny.
Right. But I think one thing that you were able to learn from a lot of these rejections is I noticed that even though you're getting more and more disappointed, I could tell your ability to accept it and just kind of get some thick skin during these interview process got you calmer. Like, if anything, your expectation of rejection made you calmer about the whole interview process. And that way, you're able to just solve the problem without any of the, oh my goodness, like, this is my interview. Like, well, what if they ask me this? What if they ask me that? You're just kind of, okay, I'm just going to try to go in there, do the best I can. I prepared to the best of my abilities. I did the interview. I prepared the technical challenge. I did the front end prep. Let's see what happens, right? Like, yeah. I feel like your mentality changed a lot from
that interview that we got together. I changed my mode. You know, I start like following from eval.com. I was lucky that
shout out to front end eval.
Yeah,
shout out to front end eval. I'm working on it right now.
Yeah,
I joined that team.
Yeah,
but anyways, go ahead.
That helped me a lot. And I remember I found this like on Medium blog. I found that and they start. Yeah, I remember I was searching how to prepare for interviews much better, like a front-end interview. And I found that link, and I started doing all the projects. And even what I did, that was a good practice that you told me, to like set my timer. Like give yourself like 45 minutes and trying to solve it at that time. Focus on the logic and forget about the styling. And then if you have time, just start doing your styling. That was an amazing, and that I think that's what got me the job because I got 3 rounds on my current company. They got me one like that. That was a model to open on a model, close, like the same as a from evil. And then I got an algo interview. But at that point, I was very, very prepared for that, because from evil mm-hmm. and then for your mm-hmm. advice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Actually, it's crazy that you discover front-end eval before I discover front-end eval. And now I'm like helping them with their stuff and actually doing their doing YouTube videos on how to solve those problems. It's actually helping me get better at front-end development too, because it's just, how do I use vanilla JavaScript again and use React in these instances? But yeah, I know how much you prepared, and I feel like you just kind of had to go through. It's kind of like a book of Joel Hernandez. You know, you went through the studying, and then you stopped programming, and then you built projects, and did you were in tutorial hell, and then you started interviewing, but then the interviews weren't going too well. But eventually, you got to a point where it just felt like a pattern. If anything, it felt repetitive, right? The fact that you were able to just go, okay, I know what to say here, I know what to say there, and then move on to the next round, and then I know what to say here, I know how to do this there. It's just, that's why I was so eager for you to push for interviews earlier than later, because I just knew that it's so hard, and unless you go through it yourself, it's really hard for me to tell you what it's going to feel like, right? You had to kind of experience it for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a time, I know that you remember that, there was a time that I failed that interview that was here in New York, and I wanted to mm-hmm. get that job. And the funny mm-hmm. thing is, mm-hmm. even I got to the final round, and the guy told me that I was doing amazing. I got a goodbye from the hiring manager. There was two guys, I remember. He was impressed because he got me mm-hmm. the challenge. Actually, it was two challenges, and he gave me an hour, and I was able to finish like in 40 minutes. Because of From Evil, because I was practicing with this timer, so I got pretty good and like prototyping, get my thing done pretty easy. And then the guy, mm-hmm. he was even telling me the benefits, everything. And I said, you know what? I got this job. This is mine. And actually, I messaged you. Hey, Alex, I got the job. I think I got it. This is mine. I was excited because of back of my mind, I had a goal back on 2021 was to get my job that year. And then... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then I was waiting for the email. I wait for 1 week, and then I say, hey, to the recruiter, hey, what's going on? Actually, to hiring manager, hey, I'm still waiting for your email. They told me, you know what? I'm still waiting. We are going to call you back. A month passed by. Nobody called me. And then one day he just told me, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. We found somebody else that has a better experience than you. I'm sorry. That was a pretty bad feeling that I got. I think that was the worst feeling that I got from this interview process, because I was like seeing myself on that job. Mm. And even at that time, I wanted to give up, to be honest. I said, you know what, I'm just failing, not getting anything. I'm not going to get to anywhere. And then it's when I called you, you told me this, don't take it personal. You are getting to the final round. It means that we are close. So just keep going. And then after that,
was on a...
After that interview is when I got my job. Yeah.
Yeah. After I remember that one. I mean, people think that, you know, I only want to talk to people if they pay me money or something. But I remember specifically that was like a Saturday or Sunday. And I was like, Joel, call me right now. And we just talked for a good, I mean, as much as, you know, like I do this quote unquote coaching thing, I really consider you a really good friend and someone I had to know for the past 6 months. So of course I'm personally invested in you as well. But I remember, because it was such a dark time at that moment. And I said, hey dude, don't give up. We're so close. If you weren't getting interviews, or you only were getting one or two interviews and it didn't work out, then, you know, even then I would say don't give up. But I could smell the finish line, like I could see it. But maybe you're like, oh, maybe I should go back to, because I think you asked me, like, should I just go back to my projects or something like that?
Yeah,
like,
so you know what?
I said, no, don't go back to your projects. I was like, don't go back to your projects, please. Just trust me. Go and keep interviewing. And man, it's just crazy how things turn around. So, but now that, you know, you're on the other side, making some good money, you know, living that developer life. How is it? How does it feel to be on the other side as a developer?
It's so different. It's so different. I'm so happy. I think I told you this. I have never been that happy like right now. I'm so happy. Every single day I'm smiling. I even don't remember working on my job that I was smiling at all. I was sad. I mean, I was unhappy all the time, sad. Uh-huh. Yeah, now I'm so happy. I'm very glad that I got to this company because they really are a team-oriented company. They really value you as an employee. And, you know, I wanted to get to not, I wanted to get anywhere in a startup or anything, but I wanted to have like, have somebody like a coaching me because I didn't have, I know how to code, but I, you know, not in a professional level. So I, and thank God this company right now is very good, team oriented. They are teaching me everything, but still, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Now I got the vibe, you know, working on my desk. Now I feel like, oh, you know, now I was able after 13 years, with 13 years, now I'm feeling like this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'm half, still have this grind on my mind. I want to get better every single day. I'm still investing my 2 hours every single day, learning new technologies, you know, learning new things because I just want to get better and better. But now I'm doing what I like. Now I'm doing what I love.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm getting the money. Now I'm with my family because I'm working remotely. Now I have my family close. I don't have to spend too much time preparing for interviews. And I'm so, so happy. I cannot tell you how happy I am right now.
Yeah. And not only are you doing what you love, but you're getting paid for it, right? You could do what you love, but sometimes when you're not getting paid, it's like, what am I doing? Am I wasting time? What's going on here? So the fact that you're able to code for a living and get paid, that's just a really great feeling. It's a really great feeling. And I know that a lot of people that are listening to us right now, they could probably take a lot of notes from your journey. But if you had to give people that are trying to get their first developer job some advice, what would it be?
For sure. So first, don't give up. Don't give up on your dream. I'm a guy that, like I said, spent 13 years to get my job done. I mean, to get my dream done. And I think one thing is not only knowing how to code is enough. You need to do many strategies. You need to get your LinkedIn. You need to do your resume. Try to get a good resume. Have somebody else to review your resume. Even from your Discord, I got so many good advice. When I send my resume to your Discord, and then the guy who's like messaging me, change this, change that. Also, do your projects. This is very important. Your portfolio side. And I think doing a project from scratch is very good. Right now, I'm getting my tickets done pretty quickly. I'm doing very good at my job because I think I got the mindset how to research when I'm knowing something, I don't know how to do it. And I think you have to first have the right mindset to not give up, get your portfolio, get your resume, and have somebody like a mentor to help you out, or a community at least, because you need somebody else or a group of people that is vouching you of or got the feeling of being in a community. And I think that was the thing that was missing back when I was coding, even before I met you. You need to have a community. When you're working by yourself, it's not okay. I mean, you need a group of people that is doing what you're doing. And of course, never give up. I think that is it sounds cliche, but it's inconsistency. Consistency is the key.
The reality is it's the easiest thing to do is to give up, right? Because you just go, okay, I'm done, right? Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then just play games, watch TV or whatever, right? But not giving up is so hard. But finding a community, like you said, and I'm actually very pleasantly surprised about my Discord community because, you know, sometimes I'm not the most active person. I try my best. I try to, you know, engage and keep the conversations going. But I'm just very appreciative of the people that are in there. And honestly, I'm thankful for you, too, because I know you're answering questions when people ask. And I just feel that now that you're on the other side of actually being a developer, you're just giving so much knowledge. I'm like, do I even need to be here anymore? I got Joel answering all the questions. I don't even think I need to answer these questions. But man, it's just so funny that we're kind of talking in this manner now. I don't even feel like I'm coaching you anymore, right? I don't need to coach you anymore. Of course, if you ever want to talk, you know, just message me and then we could just schedule a call. It doesn't even have to be like official coaching. Let's just have a conversation, because I remember actually before you started your job, you booked a coaching session. Yeah. I was like, why did you book a coaching session? And you're like, I need to know what I should prepare for XYZ. And I told you as much as I could, but it's a 1 hour call and we finished in 30 minutes. I said, hey, Joel, I got nothing for you, man. This is kind of the whole prodigal son style where I just let you go out and figure it out on your own. I'll help you get there. But once you're there, you know, you're on. It's up to you, man. It's up to you. And it seems like you're thriving more than you thought.
Yeah. I'm doing, I'm not bragging, but I'm doing very good so far. I have done like many tickets already and pretty much I spent like even less than a day to get my tickets done. So, and I think it's because I'm still in that mode, like I told you at the beginning, like in the mode to in an interview, get this and get it done right away. But I think that practice every single day, the consistency of coding, and also having your side projects, that is very helpful. I think that is what helped me a lot to get, to be doing good so far right now on my job, because when you're working, when you're doing like project from scratch, that helped you a lot. Of course, and working every single day. Doing my best and consistency and
You ever think do you ever think that why is Alex or Tech Rally so good at coding? It's not because I'm good at coding. It's literally something I just do every day. So once you start doing it every day, some things will just come naturally to you, right? Yeah. Like you're mapping over a function, or you're doing a for each, or when do you use that over the other? It's just repetitiveness that I'm just done it for almost 7 years now of my life. So when people are asking, it's like, it's so amazing that you could just automatically know what to do just by seeing it for like 10 seconds. Like, it's because I've been doing it for 5 years. Like, it takes time. It's going to take time, but you've been thriving right now, and I'm just so happy for you that number one, you know you don't have to talk to me anymore. I don't have to have those one-on-ones anymore. Oh man, you know that stress level is so high for me too. No, I'm just kidding, but I always want to do the coaching sessions in a way where I don't have to talk to you again, kind of thing, where it, in a sense of like I want to see everyone succeed, and if that happens, then you know that's a win, right? That's a win for both of us. And just seeing you being able to just have that job, ironing out those tickets, and you know, messaging me less means it's a good sign, because that means you're
yeah, because I was still... it was at a point that I was messaging you like every single day, and I was pretty happy. So you know what, I'm thinking I'm bothering him so much right now, but he's still answering me, and I really want to thank you, to be honest. 100%, because like I said, you were like, I don't know, everything was like prepared for me. Maybe God, I don't know. I say, you know, this guy has been trying to get this dream for 13 years. Now let me put this guy on his road to help him out. And it was like everything, I don't know, everything was like fitting properly. I found you, you coached me, I started getting interviews, and now here I am working on my dream job. And
I didn't know what to expect, honestly, from that first meeting. I didn't know that it was going to be a 6 month ride or 7 month ride, but I'm so glad that we went through it, you know, and you're a perfect person to work with. So easy to work with, because every time we talked, you're always making progress. And that made me want to work harder with you, right? It's if you were just telling me I didn't do this or I didn't do that, I'm like, why did you book the call then, right? Like, that's what I would have said. But the fact that you always came in very prepared, and every time you talked to me, it was always moving forward. And that's what I love. And even, you know, sometimes we did have those moments where, oh, I failed this or I failed that. And we'll run into roadblocks, but I'm glad that we ran into roadblocks at least progressively going forward, not necessarily going backwards. So super proud of you, man. You much deserved. You know, like, I don't know what else to say, because you're just killing it. And thank you again for staying in my Discord community and helping other people, because hopefully if you learned anything from me outside of like how to get a job, it's just like paving it forward is really important, right?
Yeah, of course.
Helping others is super important. So
it is.
Man. Yeah. So before we close out, any last words or things you want to say? Or
consistency, guys. If you want to get your job, treat it as a job. I mean, that is very important. Treat it as a job. Don't put excuses. Even myself, I got a family. I have one kid, 3 years old, many things to do, support my family here and also in Dominican Republic. I got many things on my plate, but at that time, I mean, I'm still, you need to change your mindset. You need to treat getting your job as your job and never look back, never go back, consistency and work hard until you get it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Joel.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see I feel like you're gonna beat me as an engineer in 5 years. So let's make that a goal. Let's make that a goal. That's my coaching advice for you for the next 5 years. You gotta beat me. So, but anyways, thank you again for giving me an hour to talk to you like this and just sharing your story. So, stay tuned for the next episode, everyone, and I'll see you then. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a comment to show support. This episode will be available on YouTube and various other podcast platforms. Tech Rally out.